I'm not scared of werewolves or vampires, but man, I'd always lose sleep when I dream that I could set my people free. Whoa. Welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lebanon. Pardon, Gaston Lucien Lebanon. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this date, May 4th, 2025. Say it. May the force be with you. Mind you happy, nerds? Today's episode is also rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. Okay, quick shout out to all you listeners out there. Do us both a favor, and I mean it. Clap for yourself. Seriously, clap for yourself. For some of you, that might be the nicest things you've done for yourself in a while. And I want to send a quick shout out, and also a special shout out to all you first-time listeners. Welcome. Yay! My hope is that at some point I say something on this podcast that resonates and leads us to us making history. Okay? All right. Today's episode is titled 262, Set My People Free. I will be, today's feature thought will be, I'm just going to talk about sinners, right? I'm not going to say I can't guarantee there might not be spoilers when I talk about it. So you are warned, okay? Last episode, I already talked about it, but I talked about it, but it was spoiler free. It was my first impression. And then this time it's just, you were warned. You've been warned. But before we get to that, you know what we're going to do? What we usually do. Some quotes and randomness. All right. Nous commençons. Quotes and randomness. That's right. Quotes and randomness. All right. For today's episode, I already got two quotes for now. And I'm gonna try to cut out my ums and ahs and buzzwords. Okay. First quote. Easy is to judge the mistakes of others. Difficult is to recognize our own mistakes. This reminds me of my church days. It was, it used to be I had normalized having people point out my flaws while they're oblivious of their own flaws. And so it's probably, if I'm sensitive to criticism now, it's just because that kind of surrounding didn't help. I guess it didn't help. I'm not going to blame all of it on it, but I'm just going to say it didn't help. Okay, next one goes, life gets better when you realize there's no such thing as a wrong decision. Every choice you make leads you exactly where you're meant to be. Wow. That's a tough one, especially when especially for someone who struggles with indecisiveness and whatnot. But maybe it's a maturity thing. I've reached a point in my life where what's going to happen is going to happen. Just make a choice and worst case scenario, you learn from it, kind of like that. Again, I'm not preaching. I want to be careful to say that I am not out here preaching. I am reading quotes that I feel the need, that resonates, that I feel the need to share, but it definitely resonates. Okay, so that was quotes. Let's jump into some randomness. But first, I got to say, it's getting hot in here. So, it's warm in this place. Oh, summer is upon us. It's getting close. We're in spring, but summer's getting close, gang. We are in the month of May. Tomorrow's what? Cinco de Mayo? Okay, that's not an official Cinco de Mayo song, but yeah. I got to contact my friends about what are we doing tomorrow. Right, May the 4th, May the 4th. That's some corny shit. You know what? I'm a Star Trek guy. So, confession. I should have started out with a confession. I was never really that big on Star Wars. Partly had to do with the fact that I didn't go see it in theaters with all the rest of my friends. And when it did show up on TV, I remember my parents being, go to bed! I was that young. Go to bed! Yeah, whatever. It just never... I'm not saying it's not a good series. I'm saying I am not amongst the people who have the fortunates of enjoying it like everyone, like most fans. But I do know what it's like to, I can connect to the whole fan fiction and wanting to know more about this universe created by this writer. But whatever. Anyway, so may the force. May the force be with you, gang. Next one. Okay. I didn't read. Okay, so first I got to start out with a correction. On the last episode, I said Pierre Poilievre was part of the Nepean. His writing was Nepean. Turns out it was Carlton. And the, how embarrassing. Oh, whatever. Shut up, podcast, man. It's my goddamn podcast. All right, made a mistake. I'm owning up to it. Excuse me. I'm loading an article about it. It goes, let me just get an update. Well, first of all, let me see where Carlton is. Is that part of Ottawa? Ottawa. Writing these nuts, Carlton. Where is that? You mean, like, I know Carlton Place. Carlton District. Okay, this doesn't make sense. Hold on a second. Carlton is a federal election district. Oh, okay. Carlton is an electoral district in Ontario, Canada, represented in the House of Commons of Canada from 1867 to 1968 and since... That doesn't make sense. 2015. What, they took a break? I don't get it. It was represented by the Legislative Assembly of Upper Canada. Goddamn. That's some back in the day shit. Assembly of Upper Canada from 1821 to 1840 and is the Legislative Assembly of the Province of Canada from 1841 and 1886. It is currently represented by Bruce Fanjoy, who defeated Conservative Party leader Pierre Poilievre in 2025. All right, so shout out to Bruce Fanjoy for getting more love in Pierre Poilievre's hood that he does. Right. Okay. Let me just click. So where is this goddamn district? But anyways, just a quick correction that he. Lost that district. And from what I understand, the next move is to writing Pierre Poilievre lost in had the highest voter turnout in Ontario data shows. Hold on, let me read this. Alright. Okay, now I heard. So by Canadian rules, in order for him to still be the opposition leader, he's got to find a new district to represent. And I think what he's going to do is he's going to ask one of his MPs to resign so he can take over that block. But doesn't that defeat the whole, like, no one elected him? That's and whatever, man, Canadian politics. I'm getting distracted. The whole point was he's not in the Nepean district. Okay. Then who was in Nepean? Was it Kearney? Hold on. Kearney. How do I do this? District. I studied this shit in. Can you tell I studied this shit in high school? I forget. And he is. Yeah, Nepean writing. Okay. I confused the two. Okay. Right. So Mark Kearney was Nepean. And Pat Poilievre was, underline, was Carlton. And now he's something else. But whatever. All right. Okay. We're not going to waste more time on this, but okay, I got a quick joke for you guys. I can't take credit for it. It's from a sandwich shop someone took a picture of, and I'm going to share it with you, and I wish I could give them credit. Oh, wait a minute. I can't. It's HindenburgKids.com. Anyways, the joke goes, what's the difference between a toilet and Pierre Poilievre? And the answer is, they are both full of shit, but at least the toilet has a seat. you gotta be Canadian to get that. Okay, all right. Or you gotta have Canadian or understanding on how our parliament, the way a government works here. Parliamentary, you know what I mean. Okay. Next item. Okay, this next clip I'm going to play happened last week, and you've probably heard of it. And it reminded me of Trump is a dictator. No. I mean, yes, in addition to Trump being a dictator, but I'm going to play this clip of an interview that happened with Trump, and I will tell you why it reminded me of my days in church.
He wasn't a member of a gang. And then they looked, and right. On his knuckles, he had MS-13.
There's a dispute
over
that.
Wait a minute. He had MS-13 on his knuckles tattoo.
Oh, he had some tattoos that are interpreted that way. But let's move on.
Wait a minute. Terry.
He did not have the letter MS-13.
It says MS-13.
That was photoshopped. So let me
that was photoshopped. Terry, you can't do that. Hey, they're giving you the big break of a lifetime. You know, you're doing the interview. I picked you because, frankly, I never heard of you, but that's okay. I picked you, Terry. But you're not being very nice. He had MS-13 tattooed.
We'll agree to disagree. I want to move on to something else.
Terry, do you want me to show you the picture?
I saw the picture.
Well, you think it was Photoshop?
Well, here we go.
Don't Photoshop it. Go look at his hand. He had MS-13.
He did have tattoos that can be interpreted that way. I'm not an expert on them. I want to turn to Ukraine, sir.
Terry, I want to get to Ukraine. No. He had MS, as clear as you can be, not interpreted. This is why people no longer believe the news, because it's fake news.
When he was photographed in El Salvador, they aren't there. But let's just go. They aren't there when he's in El Salvador.
They weren't there, but they're there now, right?
No,
but
they're in your picture.
Terry.
Ukraine, sir.
He's got MS-13 on his
knuckles. Let it go.
All right.
Okay.
Right. We'll take a look.
You do such a disservice.
We'll take a look at that, sir.
Why don't you just say yes, he does, and you know, go on to something else?
It's contested.
The part I wanted you to focus on was more Terry's response to Trump saying bullshit, and the facts are this: there was an image circulating of homie Kilmer Abrego Garcia. Keep forgetting his name. Okay, Kilmer Abrego Garcia. So there is an image circulating with his knuckle having MS-13, but it's been proven to be photoshopped, edited. It's bullshit, whatever. And like I said, Terry's reaction, whatever his name is, the ABC interviewer guy, his response is, he can't flat out tell the guy, fuck no, stupid, it's wrong, let me ask your next question. And and that's what a lot of people forgot, neglected at the election, when it came time to vote. He's the boss now. Trump is now the boss. I'm reading in the comment section, the top question goes, why doesn't the interviewer push back more on this and force Trump to acknowledge his lies instead of agreeing to disagree? Because he wants to keep his job. Because his company, ABC, still wants to be on their good side so they can have news from the president of the United States. A lot of these kids, you kids don't understand. I'm saying kids. Even though it applies to adults. He's the boss now. He's in charge. it's his way or the highway. He can make your life difficult. Unless y'all willing to take it to the streets, unless y'all willing to inconvenience yourself, lose your job, you got to play by this fucker's rules. And that's the part that reminded me of church. I've been in situation where someone said some bullshit, whether it be the earth is flat, talking snakes, gays are going to hell, black people are a curse, women are, you know, bullshit. And I had to pretend, and I swallowed that shit, and I pretended like, yes, whatever the fuck you're saying, because you don't believe in logic. The only thing that matters is what you believe. It's to the point that it's like it's to the point that it's a automatic habit for me. I talked about in previous episode how it's like the trauma response is how whenever I meet an individual, whenever I meet a human being, the first thing my brain does is figure out where that person lines is. What do they consider right and wrong? And whether they're the kind of person, oh, whether you're the type who just wants to hear what they want to hear. Like, I mean, those kinds of assessment. It's like I treat everyone like they're dictators. And assume, my first instinct is, oh, you just want to hear what you want to hear. I'm not saying it's a good habit. I'm not saying it's a good thing. It's a good deed, whatever. No, it's just. So I am very familiar to being in Terry's position. What I'm not familiar is the way he pushed back. And I mean, because he knew he couldn't just say, no, you're wrong, sir. This interview is over. You keep pushing it, then I got to leave. No, he's got to swallow some of this. He's got to like play. He's got to like be diplomatic about it because he's the boss. And going back to the church example is what I put in my notes is when your boss, parent, person in charge wants you to believe something, you know, it's not true. Now, I am fascinated by you people who have like the balls or whatever, who are like, nah, fuck that. Like it's always been a trait. I've always admired the people who like are able to push back and be like, I call bullshit. Me, it's, oh, is that what you want me to believe? Okay, fine. I was thinking of, for an example, is when I was younger, a young adult, I was busted by my dad for smoking weed. I won't go into the details, but what's important is he found out that I smoked weed, and I was in a position that, okay, came clean with it. I just said, okay, fine. Yes, I do. And then he came back. Now, I got to admit that I was in my 20s, early 20s. Granted, I was living under his roof, but it's another story. And he was like, promise me you're not going to smoke weed anymore. And I thought, I'm like, since I've come clean, since you want a moment of honesty, I'm like, Pop, I can't make you that promise. He goes, promise me you'll never smoke weed again. And then my mind is like, oh, okay, we're back to doing this again. You just want to hear what you want to hear. I'm laughing, but it is what it is. It's just, I just know what it's like to swallow people's bullshit and just go along for my own safety, for my own. Yeah. I used to think that this ability being raised by authoritarian parents, is that the word? Parents who are like, you know, my way or the highway, prepared me for living under a dictatorship. Learn how to kiss some ass. No, it doesn't. Because the cost is, at some point, the more you do that shit, the more you start swallowing other people's bullshit, the more you hate yourself when you look in the mirror. The more you, like, your inner selves got beef with you. Anyways, I'm not going to make, I'm tempted to go longer than I need to, but, oh, right, okay. Part of the reason I'm going with this is two things. Is I've there's a clip by the Salopian historian about the hidden history of slavery, and I my first thought was, wow. Well, my first thought was, duh, I knew this shit. But I'm realizing the content creator wasn't just speaking to me. He was speaking to people who are other white people who are oblivious of the fact that, oh, there's more to this racism than Kunta Kinte. There's more to this racism than, I mean, there's more to this slavery shit, this history of slavery, than what I've been told in school and what was portrayed on television. Who the fuck is Toussaint Louverture? What do you mean these slaves fought back? Anyway, so he just breaks it down. He just he explains it. But while listening to this clip, I was thinking about the part of me that when it comes to slavery, do not be honest. Do not try to have an honest conversation about it with white people. It's like I was raised, a part of the black people who were raised to, it's like there's like this unwritten agreement between me and white people, and it's that do protect the feelings of their children. So no speaking honestly about slavery, no speaking honestly about racism, keep it below, keep it, you know, not talking that race. Don't say anything that's going to hurt the feelings of their children because they can't handle it. Even though you know it's bullshit. You know, after George Floyd died, one of the things that died with it for me was the need to protect white people's feelings. Just be straight up on, just be blunt about it. I at work, there's a, I'm in a situation, at work, okay, perfect example I can think of. At work, I was, because I work in IT, and we are configuring these two modules. And unfortunately, we got to use the term, one is the master, the one is the slave. It's a common, what's the word? Terms used in IT, like to refer that the primary node is primary. And instead of saying primary, they'll use master, the other one is slave. Now, there are initiatives or people are encouraging, stop using words like that. And then you'll always have that one white guy, it doesn't mean nothing to me. But that's my line. I think that's where, back in the days, I would pretend like hearing shit like the master and the slave. It's not going to kill me. But I hate the fact that I have to, whenever I hear master and the slave, my mind automatically goes to everything the Salopian historian talks about when he talks about the hidden history of slavery. All that shit is like bubbles up. It would be nice to be at work and not have to fucking think about racism, not fucking have to think about slavery, not have to repress feelings. I guess it's, I made my decision. It's like that. That's my, this is where I'm going to fight. I'm going to encourage the word primary and secondary, or whatever the alternatives are. And another one is whitelisted. access list, access control. That's the word, whatever to use, right? And just go with it. And the first one to be like, what are you making a big deal out of it? Because I fucking can. Because I can. Because I want to. If you want to have a good long discussion about slavery, we can. But right now, I'm just trying to get this job done. I'd appreciate if you just use the proper language. I would appreciate you not using language that causes me, that might trigger me, that might remind me of my ancestors and want to pull out a machete and slit your throat. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Do us both a favor. Help me help you. So yeah, being in a situation where you have to tolerate the bullshit of the people in charge. Yeah, man. It's I love the fact that we live in a different world where, or maybe it's always been the same world. But I love the fact, what I was going to say is, I love the fact that we live in a different world where I'm living in a different world where I can speak out, speak up against, or don't have to accept, tolerate the bullshit that I had to before. That's it. Yeah, okay. All right, next item. All right, the gorilla question. Did you know there's a Wikipedia? Okay, you probably heard about I don't know if you heard, but there's the gorilla question. Let me just read the Wikipedia entry to give you context. It goes, 100 men versus a gorilla is a thought experiment concerning a fight between 100 unarmed male humans and a silverback gorilla. The concept dating from 2020, but significantly resurfaced in 2025, inspired memes and various discussion about who would win. The premise typically defines a confined natural environment without weapons where the men are unarmed and are not trained in combat. All right, the origins. Let me just read this one, the origins, right? I'm not going to get into the scientific view, but just give you some context to where this question came from. The question's first known appearance was on a subreddit, r who would win, in a 2020 post by Probably Crash, u/probablycrash. The question went viral on TikTok in 2022. In April 2025, the question went viral on Twitter, seeing a wider popularity after YouTube personality Mr. Beast posted a joke tweet asking for 100 male volunteers to take on a hypothetical challenge to fighting a gorilla. This tweet garnered over 17 million views and sparked widespread discussion on social media platforms. Okay. So there's that. And the person who I believe is credited on Twitter for bringing this discussion back, I'm basing this on something I heard on the Black Eye Who Tip. Rod tends to like make sure when he says something they're true, so I'm relying on him, but he didn't say take my word for it. But the Twitter handle is Dream Chasing Mike, and it started with a tweet on April 25th, 2025. He says, "I think 100 niggas could beat one gorilla. Everybody just gotta be dedicated to the shit." All right. You know, my take on this is I believe not any man, can't be any man, can take on a gorilla. It's got to be a special kind of man. And that's got to be a man of God, because all things are possible through Jesus. So what I'm asking, I think MAGA men could take on, 100 MAGA men could take on one gorilla. I would pay to see that, because MAGA men are special, right? And they believe in God, in the power of Jesus. So can we create like a confine, put in 100 MAGA men? Hey, man. and try it out. Just give it, try it out. Prove to us that y'all some real motherfuckers. Y'all some real men. Do what the rest of us can't do. Sir, stop fucking laughing. It's not funny, all right? I'm laughing because I have allergies, but I'm saying to the rest of you, stop fucking laughing. I would encourage 100 MAGA men to take on one silverback gorilla. Because they can do it. If any man can do it, it would be them. You know what's funny about that is that I bet Trump could convince 100 MAGA men to own the libs, fight this gorilla. But y'all gotta win. Don't embarrass. I was gonna joke about, but everyone's already made, a lot of people, comedians have made that joke about how I'm not gonna do it. The only thing I know for sure about this 100 people, 100 men challenge is I ain't one of them. 99 problems, but fighting a gorilla ain't one. Okay, sorry. Okay, grow the fuck up. One last point is I found this interesting. There was a responses. this part is interesting. Okay, so the hypothetical question has gotten attention from popular news articles, celebrities. Elon Musk's response to the question was, sure, what's the worst that could happen? Yeah, let's find out. Elon, man, you and your people, go in there, man. Find out. For science. Who knows? I might be wrong. I mean, who knows? Prove me the same way y'all did with Trump. Prove me wrong. Because y'all said, you know, because everything that's going on, all the fuck up Trump is doing now, y'all said that shit wouldn't happen. And whatever, 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 whatever. Who knows? Who knows? You know what? I might be wrong about Trump. Who knows? Maybe on his last year, all his promises are going to, like, finally come through. America will be great again. So I'm just saying, Magaman, get in that ring. All right, okay. What was I? Sure, what was going to happen? Montana Senator Tim Sheehy stated a Twitter video that stated in a Twitter video that he thought the men would clearly win. Magaman, although suffering a high case of casualty rate. Yeah, okay. Some of y'all motherfuckers gonna die. Let's establish that. You just need to decide who's willing to die. Like Biggie. All right. Okay. This is an interesting paragraph because I saw this one here, right? It goes, the debate has sparked discussion on masculinity and ethics. That first sentence, I understand that part. The next part, critics argued that the scenario reflects toxic masculinity and a misguided desire to assert dominance over nature. Citation needed. Animal rights organization, PETA, of course, criticized Mr. Beast for his joke tweet, suggesting that he should leave animals out of his content. Diane Fossey, Gorilla Fund representative, have also hoped that the meme would spark interest in gorilla conservation efforts. The part that got my attention, because I saw that another woman post about, and they were making fun of her, and the sexist aspect of it, or the toxic masculinity in there. And on one end, Patrice O'Neill joked about this, about how that's what men do. We come up with, okay, not to generalize, but it's a thought experiment. It's a thought experiment. But I can understand someone looking at the thought experiment and saying that would come out of the mind of a sick fuck. It's a joke, sure, it's a joke. But I could understand someone pointing at that joke and saying only a toxic male or this says a lot about the nature of men and the need to dominate. Okay, look, I'm not gonna make a presentation about it. Look, I'm just saying, this is the closest I've come to understanding out of all the million possible things to think about, why, you know what? Okay, who am I kidding? Who the fuck am I kidding? Look, I'm gonna take a side on this one. Look, it's funny. The reason I'm bringing it up, it's funny. And when it first came up, it's the one thing that cheered me up. It's like, I've been laughing my ass off at everyone responding to, like, it's like I'm trying to be understanding. And everyone, excuse me, everyone, like the thread is just hilarious. 100 gorilla versus, oh, are you kidding? Sorry, I'm scrolling down the thread of the person of Dream Chasing Mike. And when it goes, 100 gorilla versus one gorilla, or 100 glorilla versus one gorilla. Okay, hold on. There's me. Okay, sorry, I'm reading again. He goes, me after the first nigga's jaw hanging out of him, hanging only by skin. The first person to introduce me, the first tweet or whatever, skeet, whatever, social media post that introduced me to this question, I remember they said something along the line of, maybe 100 men could, but that first one, but that first one is going to make them think. It's gonna, that first one to get folded by the gorilla is going to make the 99th think, rethink about it. Yeah, this shit's funny, man. This shit's funny. Call me a sick fuck. I don't care. okay. Can you tell I'm enjoying this shit? After 99 motherfuckers look at me to kick it off. You got to look at the threads. Hold on. Immediately thought after this video, hold on, here's hoping this guy doesn't go serious on me. Here, let me see.
100 men versus one gorilla. 100 men should take this. They should, but everyone's got to be dedicated. Like, everyone's got to be ready to die for the cause. Because the minute I see someone next to me get hit by that gorilla,
and the limb goes flying,
I'm out of there. I'm not, like, you would need at least 35 dudes, maybe even 40, just really willing to die for the cause.
All right, I'll let you check it out yourself. By the way, I don't know if you've noticed that I've been getting out of the habit of posting links to Twitter. And so this one is an exception. Just, and my intention is, here's hoping that it makes you laugh the same way it made me laugh. excuse me. When y'all down 62 men out of 100 and the gorilla starts using his ultimate. Okay, it's like you're wilding out. Pretty. Fuck, I love this discussion. Great gorilla Umbaku. M'Baku shows up and whatever, man. I ain't fighting M'Baku. That's all I'm saying. Who am I kidding? I ain't fighting shit. But I am encouraging MAGA men to get in that ring. Put out a fundraiser. We raise some funds for Trump, something like that. For his dementia. Like, whatever. Not that he needs more money, but I'm just saying, whatever. Yeah, that was fun. Okay, gang, this concludes. I'm going to wrap this up. This concludes randomness, quotes and randomness. Now let's jump to feature thought. What time? Yeah, let's jump to feature thought and make another one for the books. Okay? All right. All right, I should mention today's title is based on a song by Rod Wave. The title is Sinners, and it's on the Sinners soundtrack. And, like I said, potential spoiler alert. It's a minor spoiler alert. And if you haven't seen the movie Sinners, I recommend that you watch it spoiler-free. Just so you can get a great experience out of it. But with that said, you've been fucking warned. You've been warned. Spoilers coming up. So like I said, I remember leaving the theater, but when the credits rolled, this song came on and it was like very powerful. It solidified that I need to look up the soundtrack for this movie. And it also, when I first started this episode, I wasn't sure what I wanted to talk about. And now it looks like so that's why I chose the title based on that song. Just another way to say, hey, I'm gonna talk about Sinners again. And I think what happened between now and the last episode is the fact that when I shared my first impression, it was just fresh off the dome. Then, granted, social media, and you get to find out shit that I missed and what the movie was all about. And what I'm going to do is, I feel like the teacher getting ready to pulling in the TV projector or pulling in the projectors. We're going to watch a movie, class. No, I'm going to play a clip by a TikTok creator. Her name is The Pride Brarian. Links will be in the show notes. And she, I love their take. There's several takes that I've gotten from it, but this one in particular got my attention. About the movie Sinners. Shit that I missed. Because it's deep. Deeper than Atlantis. Deeper than the seafloor. Travel by Atlantis. Okay. Here we go.
See, white folks like the blues just fine. They just don't like the people who make it. And that line right there is the real horror behind Ryan Coogler's Sinners. Coogler says this movie is about identity, specifically how black identity, culture, and music get stolen and whitewashed. The character Delta Slim breaks it down. The blues was not forced on us like religion, we brought it with us. African music has shaped the entire world. Blues has turned into country, which turned into rock, jazz, hip-hop, basically any vibe you've ever vibed came from us. In Sinners, music can heal our community, but it also can attract evil. Sammy's music literally attracts vampires because even the undead can't resist a banger. Remick, the HVIC head vampire in charge, wants black music not for what it is, but to assimilate it into his culture and use it for his own gain. Just like Elvis, Pat Boone, and the Kingsmen stole black rock songs and commercialized it for white audiences. The original IP Thieves before AI made it cool. The film also shows how white identity is ever-changing through the characters of Mary and Remick. Mary is black, more on the Mariah Carey end of the spectrum, but because she's white passing, everyone imposes that identity on her. It's about who society forces her to be, and how whiteness accidentally expands by accepting white passing people. Meanwhile, Remick is Irish, and back then, the KKK, being anti-Catholic, also targeted Irish people when there weren't enough black people around to oppress. Hey, it's like racism isn't logical. Irish, Italian, and Jewish immigrants weren't considered fully white socially until the 50s. Whiteness shapeshifts, and blackness stays constant. And because of that, in Sinners, black people were never meant to win. Vampires wanted to drain them of their identity, and the Ku Klux Klan wanted them dead. And honestly, I don't know what's scarier, the vampires or the real-life monsters in hoods. One of the most poignant moments in a movie with about 1,000 of them is when Delta Slim tells a story about his friend that was lynched. And by the end of it, he starts to hum, turning his pain into music, into joy, as our people always do. Our culture's resilience relies on us being unapologetically ourselves, and that's something that can't be stolen. Please go see Sinners. It's the most honest horror movie I've ever seen.
I knew it. Yeah, I knew there'd be gems in there, man. I knew there'd be gems. I'm listening to her and I'm thinking, I can't add to this. It's just, you just put back my jaw. The only thought that, I brought up is how, first of all, there's a scene in Sinners where, they talk about the white passing character in the show where she, the introducer, and when the character goes, hey, there's a white woman looking at you, looking in your direction. And then he looks back, he notices who the white woman is, and he says, yo, don't look her in the eyes. I remember naively... naively think, forgetting, because I live in Canada, and in Canada, you know, nothing's about race. Sorry. Believing, thinking, oh, is she a vampire? Is that why? Is she scared of being seduced? Is that what it is? And I'm oblivious of the fact this is Mississippi 1930s. Black men get killed. Lynched. It's an easy lynching for just being accused of looking a white woman in the eye. Fucked up. Completely forgot about that part. Oh, sorry. It just reminded me what I was talking about, that clip with Donald Trump wanting him to believe bullshit. The whole, yeah, when consequences are dire, like whatever the boss says to do, no matter how stupid you think it is, you got to buy into it. But okay, let me get back to this. One thing that I noticed, there's a scene in the movie Sinners where they're in the juke joint and they're partying and they're explaining how music travels through time. There was something powerful about it. And what was the name of that song that was playing? And it's, is it called Traveling? Hold on, let me make sure. Is it this one? Nope, that's not it. I forget what it was. And whatever, there's a song that's playing and in there, they purposely show different cultures, different times, like past and future. Like there's a scene where in that same scene, and then you'll see people in a club dancing to hip hop. It's like all integrated into the blues song. It was kind of a way of saying that we're all connected. But what's interesting in that scene is, they were also showing our ancestors from Africa, and they showed ancestors from Ireland and from China, and they specifically targeted the three group. And it's a friend of mine who picked up on it. It's like, notice how the nationalities that were represented were all the nationalities within this movie. I thought it was powerful. Very powerful. Another part is on the last episode, I talked about how I'm fascinated by people who could go to another country and start a business. And now I was thinking about this. There's an Asian Chinese character in the show. And you can tell she's been in the South for a while because she speaks, her accent is to me as a Canadian, sounds exactly like them Yankees. The Southerners. Don't get all sensitive with me, you Yanks. y'all just south of the border. All right. To me, you're Mexico. No offense. And I don't know the full history, on how people from China ended up in Mississippi. I know there is a history. I could just Google it. In the Mississippi Delta, there's a horror history I could look up. But it's more the idea of I need to leave home and started. From my perspective, it looks impossible. But I'm sure if I was like travel a mile through their, saw the situation through their eyes, I'd be like, oh, I get it. My parents have told every time I've asked them, I've always tried to get an impression from my parents. What made you leave home? What made you leave the nest? Because to me, I guess maybe I'm just too comfortable in my comfort zone. But the common theme is we all knew that there was no future in staying here. And I'm like, but comfort, and whatever. Okay. Powerful movie. If I'm able to, I'll look for another video that I saw about why the movie focused on why they made the villain an Irish dude. Because it's deeper. There's another one about, apparently there's a lot of controversy about the Asian character and something she did in the movie. Yeah, a lot of debates on it, but everything that's been done in this movie is intentional, meaning they expected people arguing, having controversy, debating on what a certain character should have, could have done, and shit like that. But all this to say, if you forget anything, if you there's only one takeaway from this feature thought is go see the movie Sinners for yourself. Seriously, don't let the haters, apparently there's some, of course, there's always haters. Anytime there's something good, there's always going to be haters. But don't let the haters talk you out of not seeing it. But yeah, check it out for yourself, man. And go for the deep dive. And here's hoping it inspires you to put out a think piece or do two episodes on your podcast about it. All right, okay. All right, now before I wrap this up, I feel the need to do a quick search on, I'm not going to tell you what I'm searching for. Well, I am. Euphoria. Kendrick. Just going to confirm something. Euphoria Kendrick. Released in 2024. But when in 2024? There we go. Recorded. Released April 30th, 2024. That's right. So all this to say that this is like the 1 year anniversary of Euphoria. We passed it in when did that come out? May 3rd, 2025. So yeah, man, shout out to Kendrick because I still remember that time period. Euphoria came out and it was a whole bunch of take that, Drake. And then, and then he 9/11 Drake with a whole bunch of, I remember having conversations about Euphoria, oblivious of another diss track came out. So I'm talking to people going, what are you, an idiot? What are you talking about? Those were the best days of my life. Yes. Shout out to Kendrick for making 2024 exciting for me. All right. Or that part of 2024 exciting for all of us. All right, gang. Let me wrap this up, man. Thank you for listening. This concludes today's episode. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you, that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green with the red, black, and the red, blue. Who's your blood, motherfucker? Motherfucker. Oh, man. I gotta work on my accent. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, you know what to do. Fuck you too. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I am your king now!